Right now, the technology giant Apple hit a milestone last week when it became the first publicly traded company to be valued at $1 trillion. That's trillion with a TR. And some economists say that with economic muscle like that, mega companies like Apple are helping the economy, but others say their market dominance is contributing to low wages and social inequality. Now, Matt Phillips is a markets reporter for the New York Times. His recent piece is titled Apple's $1 trillion milestone reflects the rise of powerful mega companies. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what that $1 trillion number means. What does it mean when to say it has a Apple has a market valuation over $1 trillion?
So it's really just a basic formula. It's the market price for the company, which today I think is around $209, times the shares outstanding, and that basically is, in the aggregate, the value that all the investors that are out there, in their wisdom, you know, put on the company as a whole. So it went over $1 trillion, which is just something we've never really seen before, at least in our lifetimes.
And some of your colleagues at the Times did this visualization there, showing, you know, how many other, you know, common name companies you'd have to add together to get one Apple, and it's pretty incredible. Apple is huge, even in the scope of huge companies now, right?
It is really remarkable, and they're huge for a reason. I mean, they generate really massive profits because they produce innovative products that consumers really find irresistible, and they charge pretty high prices for them, as you might have noticed. So that, for investors, is a dream. So that is really one of the reasons why the price has gone so high, pushing the value of the company up.
Now, earlier I used the phrase mega companies like Apple. Is there anybody like Apple, or is there anybody else who's in that ballpark and nearing that $1 trillion mark?
Well, you know, a few years ago, we probably would have said no, but you can see now that some of the other big companies that have a tech platform where they're dominant in some way are also up there. So Amazon.com is flirting with about $900 billion, which, you know, is only $100 billion away from a trillion. That's real money. And then there's also Microsoft itself has been doing exceptionally well. That's also around 850 or above that. And Google's parent Alphabet is also worth more than $800 billion. And these are all just really, really incredibly dominant companies in their field.
We've seen in the past concentration of industries. You know, there were, you know, dozens and dozens of car companies, what, just a century ago or so. They whittled down to just a few American companies. Are we seeing industry, especially things like the technology industry, more concentrated than industries of the past?
Well, you know, it's really hard to tell exactly. I mean, we know that the economy in general, especially the corporate economy, is becoming more concentrated, with a larger chunk of the profits accruing to just a smaller and smaller number of companies. But when you break it down in industries, it becomes really difficult for economists to say, because, you know, what industry is Apple in? Are they a music company? They have Apple Music. You know, they have they're a marketplace themselves where they sell their apps. They don't really correspond. I mean, are they a computer company? You know, they don't quite correspond to any pure industry. And that's sort of why this presents something of a challenge when we talk about the concentration levels on an individual industry level. Like, would you say Amazon is just a online retailer? Would you say they're just sort of a retailer writ large, and sort of in that way they're competing with Walmart? I mean, the answer is probably both, but it gets very difficult to kind of siphon these off and make a very crisp declaration that this industry is more or less concentrated. But, you know, you just have to sort of sit back and kind of think, as you just did, you know, think a little bit about what you've seen in your lifetime. You know, the number of banks with the larger chunk of the country's financial assets has shrunk. You know, just think of the airline industry. You know, we've seen a lot of consolidation there. So, you know, I think it's fair to say that the economy as a whole has become a lot more concentrated among the corporate giants.
Talking to markets reporter Matt Phillips from the New York Times, Apple is a 13-digit number now. Apple hit the trillion-dollar level in its valuation, talking about the impact of that and other huge companies. Matt, in your writing on this, you looked at arguments that say, hey, this is good for the economy that we have these huge companies and that it's bad. First, look at the upside. What are people saying about the possible upside of this kind of concentration, these huge companies?
Well, you know, this is kind of the optimistic way people will think about it, you know, is that these companies are so big because they generate such massive benefits for consumers. I mean, if you think about, you know, this is a little bit different than some of the large companies that have exerted a lot of market power in the past. These companies, a lot of them give away their product for free to consumers, at least. So Google, you know, that's just a remarkable service that people wouldn't have been able to conceive of, that you could just find the answer to any question, you know, by typing it in, you know, in you know, even well into the 90s, you know, that would have been hard to imagine. So more Apple, with, you know, its products are just incredibly sought after around the world. So there's huge consumer benefits that these companies generate, which can be difficult to quantify economically just because so much of it is actually free. You know, Facebook is free to consumers. So so that's one of the upside. And the optimistic way of looking at that is that these companies have gotten so big because they are so innovative, because they are so productive. And that's true. That's true in a lot of instances. The downside is sometimes, you know, it's a company doesn't have to be either or. You know, you can start off really innovative, establish a really strong market position, and then use your market power to protect your entrenched position. So that's the thing that some economists are saying that we need to keep an eye on, just because these companies are so big.
And worries about contributions of these concentrated companies to income inequality, you write.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of the interesting things. It's a little bit hard to figure when you think about companies like Apple and Google. I mean, these are, you know, they pay a lot of really good salaries to a lot of people. You know, if you think about Google, you know, those are sort of really hotly sought after jobs for recent graduates and engineers and computer programmers. But, you know, as these companies kind of take a larger chunk of the economy, the argument is because they are so big and the amount they pay their workers just as a share of the amount of profits is so small, that it sort of in the aggregate lowers how much workers get as a share of the economy. And there's a kind of a concrete way you can think about this. You know, think about Excel, you know, Microsoft's Excel, a great program. I use it every day. A lot of people do. You know, it's delivered a lot of consumer benefits to people, and it's done a lot of business. They've sold a lot of copies of it. But, you know, it has not been great for bookkeepers, you know. So there's a lot of those sort of middle skill jobs that have kind of gone away over the last 20 years as these technological behemoths have sprouted up. And a lot of economists are starting to look at that connection now.
And another up or downside thing as we start to wrap up, if these huge companies do well, it makes an economy look good. It makes a stock market look pretty good. What happens if one or two of these companies start striking out? And how much does that hurt the economy?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, the economy, it might be not as big a deal as it could be for the stock market. You know, they're related, but not exactly the same thing. So the stock market has become pretty reliant on some of these big companies, which have sort of carried the broader indexes higher, just because the indexes are weighted by the size of the company. So if you're a bigger company like an Apple or an Amazon, you have more influence on how the stock market indexes move. So over the last few years, that's been a huge benefit to investors who are sort of broadly invested in sort of like passive index funds or things like that, because it's helped pull the overall markets higher. The concern some people have is that if they start to falter a little bit, or if even more than a little bit, then that could pull the overall indexes lower and act as an anchor. So that would be the risk. On the other hand, you know, a lot of people are still very bullish on these companies, given they do have such an entrenched position in these fast-growing industries.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Matt Phillips, markets reporter for the New York Times, talking to us about the growing concentration of American corporations as Apple hits the $1 trillion mark in its stock market valuation.